Hello, and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast titled, Bringing Intelligence to IoT's Edge. My name is John McHale, Executive Vice President with Open Systems Media and moderator for today's event. Our speakers today are Rob Patterson, VP of Product Marketing Technology Platform Group at PTC, and Dan Shea, Managing Director and Vice President at ABI Research. Now we have some short housekeeping announcements. This and all Open Systems Media eCast are copyrighted and may not be recorded or used in any way without the express written consent of Open Systems Media. The eCast will consume about 35 to 40 minutes, leaving the remaining time for the question and answer session. Please also take note of some important buttons on your screen. First, the Enlarge Slides button. By clicking on this button, you'll be able to view the slides in full screen mode. And you can use the Download Slide button to view the slides as a PDF to see them larger. Second important button is the Forward to a Friend button, which enables you to email a friend to register for this event. The third button on your console window allows you to enter questions in real time. We'll do our best to address these questions during the closing Q&A session. If you have a question intended for a specific speaker, please note so at the beginning of your question, otherwise we'll hand out the questions equally to all our speakers. If you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, one of our technicians will respond back to you during the eCast. Please note that as much as we'd like to, we may not get to all of your questions today. In that case, someone may get back to you after the eCast with more information. This eCast will be archived online and be available for 1 year. There will also be an MP3 version of the event available. And now I'm pleased to turn over to our speaker, Rob Patterson. Rob?
All right. Thank you, John. Welcome, everybody, to today's webinar on bringing intelligence to IoT's edge. We're really excited today to talk about what is a not new subject, but what is a subject that's gaining a lot of steam and a lot of interest, which is edge analytics and how to execute edge analytics and what to do out at the edge versus in a cloud or in a data center. So, you know, I'm really, really excited to be joined today by one of my virtual good friends. We've never actually met in person, but we've been on the phone many times, Dan Shea from ABI Research. So, you know, we're going to be covering many different things during the course of today's session, and this is going to be a very interactive session between Dan and I, but I definitely encourage everyone on the call today to ask any questions you may have through the Q&A panel, so, and we'll get to them towards the end of today's session. But what we're not going to do today is really PowerPoint you to death. We're really going to have a sort of back-and-forth conversation around edge analytics, kind of the advent of IoT and the data that it's producing and what to tackle, like I said earlier, at the edge versus in the cloud and all those sorts of things. So, you know, let me introduce myself before I allow Dan to do the same. So I'm Vice President of Product Marketing, so I lead all product marketing at PTC for the Technology Platform Group. So this includes ThingWorks, the augmented reality technology that we have, Euphoria, as well as some of the industrial connectivities solutions we use with our Kepware technologies within our technology portfolio. So I've been with PTC about 2 years now. I came to PTC through the ColdLight acquisition, which is now ThingWorks Analytics that drives the underlying edge analytics and machine learning technology within the IoT platform. Prior to that, I've been with a variety of different technology companies and marketing and product positions, mostly around BI and reporting. So for the last 15 years, I've been deep in the business intelligence and analytics space, tackling a variety of different challenges from the everything from enterprise BI to operational reporting to predictive and advanced machine learning types of analytics. So really, really excited today to talk to you about a growing space, as I said. So Dan, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, Rob. Hey, thanks. Thank you so much. So I'm with ABI Research. ABI Research is a technology research and advisory firm. Our heritage is in connectivity and really all the services and opportunities around connectivity. I think if we look at this market of IoT connecting things, particularly when we try to compare it to kind of past markets where it's really been more around digital-first products, smartphones and tablets, you know, the opportunity is just tremendous. So my responsibilities at ABI cover everything related to managing our IoT research and the consulting practices, services associated with that. I personally am responsible for producing research as it relates to some of the value-added services that include the services related to IoT platforms, the data analytics, and even a lot of the professional services that kind of stitch a lot of the solution elements together in an IoT solution. My background is I started out life as an engineer. Worked in aerospace, did that for about 9 years, decided I wanted to do something different, got my MBA, and was able to switch into telecom. Worked at a major telecom provider for about 4 years, and then slowly sort of moved my way into the research role that I'm in. And I've been at ABI Research for 9 years now.
Great. Awesome. So really, really excited, again, to talk about this stuff today. Dan, why don't you start us off and kind of giving us a baseline in terms of what's going on in the market? This is really your forte of looking at kind of the macroeconomic factors and then specifically what's going on with data and the analytics market as it pertains to IoT.
Sure. So the slide that we have here provides you that real quick snapshot view on just how big this market is from a revenue perspective. Today, it's a little over a $10 billion market, and we forecast it's going to grow nearly five times to over $50 billion. Within that, those revenues, there's several key components. There's the storage aspect, where this thing data, this machine data is being stored. There's the integration activities that have to do with ingesting and sorting and distributing and then querying on that data. There's the visualization aspect, which is just there's a broad set of companies and nearly any company that's offering services offers some visualization capabilities, but that can get pretty complex into some pretty cool ways to visualize the data. The core analytics have to do with analytics for the descriptive side, which is really about displaying and sort of putting into forms that can easily draw out the insights, but also the predictive and prescriptive elements where you're forecasting on that data and even then modeling to that data scenarios that allow you to understand sort of what-if scenarios about what would happen if you do these things with that connected product or service. And then the professional services are associated with typically it's data scientist salaries. And I should say that's actually a big part of the revenues today and really kind of going in the future. Although it'll be interesting to see how this changes as more data analytics suppliers provide automation capabilities, particularly as it runs to iterating on the models and building them as new data sets come in. So very big market and lots of opportunities, and we don't see it really slowing anytime soon.
Yeah, so that's probably a good transition to talk about some of the opportunities and challenges. So, you know, let's briefly look at, you know, what's going on in terms of data device growth, and you talked a little bit about this, and Dan, to start, but, you know, it's clear that devices are growing and the number of connected devices are going to be continuing to rise, and you can see on this chart here the correlation, obviously, between the number of connected devices and the amount of data being generated is rising at pretty much the same rate, if you will, as you can see on this chart. And, you know, there's a couple of reasons for this. One is the overall cost of actually connecting a device has dropped significantly, and it's going to continue to drop significantly, and it's going to enable more and more things within the IoT or to make up the IoT and be connected back ultimately to a data source and ultimately to a network feed to funnel data for analysis. Now, that being said, with the amount of data growing, you know, a lot of organizations are looking at this saying, you know, how am I going to analyze, you know, a piece of equipment or a piece of machinery that is generating 20 gigabytes of data every 5 seconds? You know, what am I supposed to do with that? It's just not economical to analyze all that data back in our data center. We would need the largest EC2 instance that Amazon can create to do that. So, you know, how do you, and this is kind of the transition to, how do you push things out to the edge, and what should you do out at the edge for analysis of this data that's being generated from these new devices that are ultimately connected? And if you think about the overall scale of what's being created. It's massive. And I always go back to, and if any of you have heard me on my past webinars, it's really three characteristics that really define data that's being generated by the Internet of Things. It's the volume of data that's being created, the velocity at which it's being created and delivered to data centers, delivered to data streams, and the variety of that data. So it could be many different types of data characteristics that need to be analyzed, correlated, and evaluated for ultimate impact on the business. So those three unique characteristics really pose some challenges, which we'll talk about in terms of how traditional analytics are done with IoT, but also present some good opportunities for, you know, evaluating new techniques in terms of analyzing data and how you're analyzing data ultimately to derive value from the volume, velocity, and variety of data being created by the Internet of Things. So Dan, let's push this out to the edge. I mean, how do you define edge analytics? I know it's kind of a fancy term. It's a term that's, you know, starting to pick up steam, like I said earlier, but it's not something that's new to the overall market. And maybe we can talk a little bit about why it's gaining steam and how it's going to continue to really, how that velocity is ultimately going to continue to grow over the next 18 to 24 months.
Yeah, so let me give you kind of some baseline information as it relates to, you know, when we talk about edge analytics is actually part of a bigger bucket called edge computing. And there's really kind of four major segments in this edge computing bucket. One is kind of these data manipulation functions that has to do with data augmentation, cleaning the data, sort of data compression. Another is sort of the security features, but particularly around encrypting data and key exchange operations. And then the last one has really to do with sort of this vast bucket of applications that are sort of driving the devices and the machines up to sort of device automation and robotic functions. Edge analytics is sort of within this bucket, but what's different about edge analytics is that it's not just analytics on sensor input-output operations, but it really has to do more with computating on kind of parallel and sequential streams of data to produce those insights. And that can range anywhere from kind of thresholding to pattern recognition all the way up through kind of those machine learning algorithms. The other thing about edge analytics to keep in mind is that the analytics do not typically reside only on at least the insights and the outcomes and the data generated from that don't just reside on the edge device. Much of that will go back to the cloud where they can do additional analysis and certainly have it for reference and use. So that's kind of a fundamental component of thinking about edge analytics in this broader edge computing market. The other thing I should point out, Rob, here is that, you know, edge analytics, the question is, what is the edge? And I tend to put it into sort of three buckets. One is sort of this, quote, extreme edge. And these are the sensors, really the small footprint compute that really have a small footprint in both memory and computing capabilities. They are not designed to do a lot of heavy computational type stuff. And while compute capabilities within, you know, in terms of hardware and storage continue to improve and increase, they're really designed to be small footprint devices overall. So there's in our view, we're not going to see as much as it relates to performing analytics on the edge in these sorts of devices, although this will change and grow over time. Where we think the majority of the analytics are going to be happening, particularly over the next 5 years, is sort of this kind of near edge, which we define as sort of the machine or the gateway. And this is just where there's a diverse supplier market, particularly with gateways and hardware at the edge, and again, as hardware computing and storage capabilities improve, you can just do more things with it. The last kind of bucket here in this, in terms of defining the edge, is what's kind of called the fog. And this really refers to typically communication infrastructure locations where there's a footprint of servers that have available capacity that you can do additional analytics type functions. Companies that are sort of jumping into this space could be these content delivery network providers or even mobile and telco network operators. operators. And so, you know, an application where we're probably going to see more use of the fog in terms of this edge analytics capability is definitely going to be a smart city space.
Yeah, then, you know, that's, Dan, you're kind of right in line with the way that we think around edge computing. And, you know, what we look at with ThingWorks, and when you expand the ThingWorks technology out to things like Kepware, being able to look at shop floor equipment, and, you know, Kepware's portfolio basically is they're a connectivity engine. They have 150 different types of specifically developed protocol adapters with a server aggregation tool that sits on top of that ultimately feeds information back to the ThingWorks technology and the Thing model inside the ThingWorks technology. But the way that we look at it is exactly what you said. The near edge stuff that's going on right now, whether it's gateways, whether it's servers, but really applying what we see edge analytics is to the data streams. So looking at parallel data streams, as you said, and looking for things like patterns and anomalies in real time so that operators using a solution can, or using an application on a daily basis, can see in real time when something's wrong inside of a factory, inside, you know, of a retail operation, inside of a supply chain, so that they can take action before there's really a challenge with that situation inside of their organization. And we find this to be an extremely valuable approach of not placing the edge analytics technology as a separate analytics tool that needs to be evaluated by an end user, but integrating it directly into the development environment so the developer of that application for the end user can easily apply that type of sophisticated technique to a data stream so that that application that's being delivered can have that type of functionality directly out of the box. So the way that we look at it is, from an edge analytics standpoint, is providing that technology and providing that capability within our overall development platform as a feature of that platform versus it just being a standalone analytics solution that's applied to a data stream that's coming into the platform. So, you know, when we think about edge computing and edge analytics, we're looking at exactly what you just said, the data streams and the near edge suppliers. We work very closely with companies like HPE, National Instruments, to really getting out really close to the edge of where this data is being processed and placing edge analytics on those data streams for monitoring. So I think that, you know, brings up a good point around really what's the challenge of, and we talked a little bit about this, but ultimately what's the challenge of the existing tools in market when it comes to analyzing the data that we talked about, the volume, velocity, and variety of data coming from the IoT, but, you know, why can't these tools work at the edge? Well, you know, when you look at the overall market, and Dan, feel free to chime in here whenever you would like, but,
sure,
you know, I think when you look at what the majority of organizations are using when it comes to analytics tools, they fall in the, several buckets, and they all pose challenges to using them with IoT data, especially around edge analytics, because they're just not really developed for that. You know, BI tools and operational reporting tools and statistical modeling and advanced analytics tools, they're all very good and they have their place in the enterprise. I mean, you wouldn't see many companies being multi-billion dollar companies for many, many years if that wasn't the case. But, you know, the challenge with these things, take operational reporting to start. I mean, these are static reports that are point-in-time reports that ultimately are normally run on a certain time interval. A lot of times it's on a daily basis and it's delivered to, you know, key decision makers in an organization to see performance of a certain metric or a KPI that they want to look at on a daily basis to ultimately shift or monitor the way that they should make decisions on a strategic level at the business. But if you dive into it a little bit further, the data exploration and data discovery tools and data visualization tools that are out there that allow for more flexibility are challenged at its core because of a couple of things, but mostly because it's not really developed for real-time analytics. It can't handle the velocity and the volume of data that IoT is generating, and you can't place these things out on the edge on the network. It's not really made for monitoring data streams. It's not made for alerting users to anomalies found in a data stream in real time. They're really made for point-in-time manual investigation of data, whether it's a predetermined set of data in a pre-aggregated data cube, or it's something that's more querying data in real time in memory where there's a wider data set available. It's not really made for that. And then the data statistical or advanced analytical tools, you know, these are very challenging tools to use. There's very few people in organizations that actually know, one, how to create data models for things like predictive analytics or simulations, but secondly, actually how to operationalize them in business systems. So, you know, these are very challenging because of the speed at which IoT data is delivered can ultimately wreak havoc on models that are pre-programmed in a manual way that aren't automatically updated based upon the ebb and flows of data that are being generated in real time. So all of these things pose significant challenges when it comes to monitoring data, not just at the edge, but in IoT in general. So, Dan, anything to add when looking at kind of...
Yeah, really good. So I think what we have to keep in mind with these, you know, these BI tools that have been out there for many, many years is they're really not designed to be actionable by the employees that really need those. So those operations engineers that are on the shop floor and need better tools in order to monitor the operations and get ahead of maintenance issues and challenges, you know, these are not really designed for that. And so, you know, there is a need for better tools across all facets and levels of the organization. The other thing I should point out here is that, you know, these are not necessarily designed for ingesting and dealing with the types of data that you get from machines. It's just a different type of data that requires additional sort of cleansing and normalizing and that sort of thing. And, you know, the tools that are available today for IoT are more designed for that. So I think that's an important point to understand as well.
Yeah. So if you look at, and that's great point, Stan, if you look at the challenges posed by those solutions, what does a solution that's edge ready, that is IoT ready, ultimately look like? And we talked about detecting patterns automatically. So something that can actually look at a data stream that's coming from the edge that can detect patterns automatically and can automatically learn about what normal looks like for that operating environment for that device. Now, this is really interesting because what this does is when you have this capability, you have you limit the amount of data that you ultimately need to transmit back to a data center, store, perform ETL work on, and you know, do some other type of analytical process on this. Because a lot of times on the data streams, people are looking for patterns or they're looking for anomalies, which is the second item here in the center of the screen, within the data streams for alerting those users, as Dan talked about, on the shop floor, in a manufacturing plant, that need to know exactly when that thing is happening so that they can take action right away. Now, the third piece of this is the predictive piece and the simulation piece is not just being able to do predictive analytics or simulations, but automate the process of embedding this inside of a solution. So using very advanced, modern, sophisticated machine learning, artificial intelligence capabilities to automatically generate not only just the models, but automatically score data through those models so that it can be applied to one of those end user solutions. So, you know, I think that, Dan, when we look at these things, I'm sure you've seen this out in the market when you talk to a lot of people, you know, what are some, are you seeing these things in terms of real world use cases being used for IoT analytics and edge analytics?
Well, there's certainly a need. I mean, there's absolutely a need. I would say this, that the suppliers and kind of the ecosystem that's offering sort of edge analytics is still pretty small. I mean, there's not many people doing that today. I know PTC is, but, I mean, it's not a lot of companies. But, you know, if we look at the opportunities, it's tremendous. I mentioned one as I talked about kind of the manufacturing environment. You have any industrial process where it's kind of defined by this heavy use of electromechanical machines, there is a distinct need for edge analytics. You know, today the tools, I mean, there's really very limited tools. It's they're cumbersome and it's more reactive for guys that are working on the floor like that. And what's what why this is really needed in this sort of industrial market is that the spending on maintenance repair, not only just in parts but also in this, in the costs for salaries to monitor these machines is huge. In fact, we've sized this market. I mean, the maintenance, worldwide spending on maintenance and repair is a $1.2 trillion market. And if you can imagine the ability to just take down that cost a little bit, that's huge. That's a huge benefit there. You know, another market that's going to be key here is sort of these anything related to transportation. And if we, you know, there's been a lot of news on autonomous driving and that sort of thing, that's where edge analytics is going to become even more important because you're going to need that very low latency. And that's sort of one of these benefits that really haven't talked about too much here is that when you can do analytics on the edge, you have this ability to react, and it's because you're not sending data all the way back up the cloud and having it come back. You know, and I think the last sort of market has to do with, you know, smart cities is a good example where you have people flows and transportation flows all sort of happening at the same time. And if you can deploy analytics either for these transportation systems, whatever it might be, you can help eliminate some of these harmful collisions that could happen between people and things. And then you also have this opportunity to drive kind of these beneficial interactions. I think retail environments will be another one, and I think construction sites will also be another one. So those are kind of the markets. Now, Rob, if you allow me here, I'll talk a little bit about the end users that and the benefits that they will gain from these edge analytics tools. So one certainly is the data scientist. And the reason why is because with edge analytics, you can actually use the intelligence that's gained from detecting both normal and anomalous behaviors and use that in scoring and updating models that are used in the cloud. So there's huge benefits just for data scientists. The field technicians, service technicians, definitely is going to help them just respond more quickly to things and machines that they can see are operating at a condition where a failure is imminent. And so that's probably one of the that group is probably going to see some of the greatest benefits. I talked a little bit about operations engineers, and those guys are the guys that are responsible for keeping this equipment running and updating it as necessary. Another group, though, that's not really discussed very much is, I think, procurement. I think procurement will benefit from edge analytics because they will be able to, depending on their ability to get access to data, and that's really what's important here, you know, detect faulty feedstock or some low-quality raw material type shipments. And based on that understanding, they can slow down shipments of a similar batch of material that might have the same problems. So I think that procurement group will also find some benefits. And I think, Rob, you talked a little bit about the developers, and I think the ability for them to develop applications that can be deployed in a number of different locations is huge. I think there's tremendous efficiencies for them. The last group is, as we see it, is sort of this the HR and maybe senior management, where you know today what we're seeing is that particularly in some of these industrial markets, the worker on the shop floor, a lot of those guys are just starting to retire. Replacing them is a bit of a challenge because the new guy just doesn't have the knowledge. And a lot of this is tribal knowledge, sort of understanding how a particular machine works just based on having worked around it and sort of how it sounds. With edge analytics, you can actually use the analytics as sort of a force multiplier. And you can actually operate on fewer staff and not have to deal with a lag in sort of experience that you get when people retire. So lots of benefits for the different employees that are interfacing and having to manage these different systems.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dan, you know, just to add, you know, you said that there's not many vendors out there offering this stuff right now, and PTC is one of them offering edge analytics. And I think it'd be cool to look at an actual edge analytics use case with using our technology. So I don't know, some of you on the call may have seen this, but we developed a very powerful solution with one of our partners, Flowserve. HPE and National Instruments played a role in this too, and I'll explain that here in just a minute. But what we did was we developed an application, as you can see here on the screen, and there's actually a live video of this, a video of the demonstration of the actual pump, physical pump correlated back to the solution running, and you can take a look at that on ThingWorks.com or on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. If you search ThingWorks Analytics, it'll pop up there. But just explaining this here real quickly, this is a very good explanation and very good overview of what actually edge analytics is and what it can be in terms of meaningful use to an operator or to an end user. So imagine you're in an oil refinery and you have hundreds, if not thousands, of these individual pumps moving different liquids and different materials throughout your facility. And you have a list of all these pumps, and you're monitoring all of them for things like efficiency, part failure, predictive maintenance, anything that's going to eliminate the probability of an actual pump going down. Because if one of these pumps goes down and ultimately a manufacturing on a process plant goes down, and it can cost anywhere from, you know, hundreds of thousands to even $1 million, over $1 million per minute when that pump is down inside of that refinery. And it can have ripple effects in terms of overall efficiency throughout the plant. So what this actual solution does is, you can see on the screen, there's a couple of green boxes, there's a couple of red boxes that are overlaid with arrows on top of the pump. This is actually edge analytics running. And what we're doing is we're looking at the actual data streams coming off of the National Instruments analog to digital sensors and monitoring them for anomalies and patterns within their individual data streams. But we take that at an aggregated level and we push it back and correlate it back to overall efficiency. And you can see that in the near middle of the screen towards the upper right-hand corner around efficiency. And what's interesting about this is that all of these sensors and what normal looks like and how the system determines out on the edge if it's an anomaly or if there's a pattern occurring within that individual data stream is done autonomously. There's no preconceived or pre-built model that's inherited down to the individual sensor. With this technology inside of ThingWorks, what it's doing is it's learning in real time what normal looks like for that individual operating environment. And what normal looks like can adapt and evolve over time and be retrained to understand what different environmental changes look like, so on and so forth, that might impact false positives or false negatives in the anomaly or pattern detection process. Now, all of this is interesting because in real time, you're able to see what's occurring with this pump and how this pump is operating. But if you look towards the bottom of the screen, there's three failure predictions at the bottom of the screen. And this is what becomes very interesting to look at when there's anomalies detected on those individual data streams, and it's correlated back to part failures on those pumps. So things like predictive maintenance and things and being able to really identify out in the field what needs to be replaced and when to replace it in order to avoid unexpected downtime of this pump is really going to keep things moving smoothly and keep things running efficiently, whether you're working in a facility that has thousands of these things or working in a facility that may have just a few of these things. You're able to really quickly see what needs to be replaced, when it needs to be replaced, and what's causing it and what the efficiency ratings are of that individual pump within the facility. So all of this is being done out at the edge using a combination of hardware from HPE. I believe this was their new EdgeLine 1000 server that our software is embedded on, looking at the NI data streams coming off the NI analog to digital converters on this individual pump. So this is a really good, again, a really good explanation of what an end user could be look like and how edge analytics can ultimately impact someone on their daily job and how it ultimately can keep in this case, a refinery or an oil platform running smoothly and avoiding any unplanned downtime. So before I turn things back over to John for Q&A, and if you have any questions, feel free to ask them through the Q&A panel. You know, Dan and I have worked on a new white paper that will be available soon that talks about edge analytics and everything that we talked about today. So keep an eye out on the thingworks.com for that white paper. And I believe if you did register or attend today's session, we'll be sending out a link once that's available. It should be available in the next couple weeks here. If you're interested in looking at ThingWorks analytics and some of the edge analytics capabilities, you can go to developer.thingworks.com and you can start your free trial there. You can download it, play around with the overall platform, and see what ThingWorks and ThingWorks analytics can do for your IoT solution. So, you know, Dan, great conversation. Enjoyed presenting kind of this old but new subject with you. So let's turn it over to John. Get some see if we can get some Q&A going here from the audience.
Thank you very much, Rob and Dan. Excellent presentation. Now let's get right to that Q&A you talked about. Our first question from the audience: what should be done in the cloud?
Yeah, so why don't I take this one, Dan, and you can feel free to chime in. You know, I think that when you look at what should be done in the cloud, it's basically what you can't do out at the edge, right? So if you take your overall analytics strategy and you subtract out what's not possible at the edge at this point, that's what should be done in the cloud. So if you need to do things like, you know, there's very, very few solutions that can actually run pure simulation models and pure predictive models out at the edge and create those out at the edge beyond just creating models for what patterns and anomalies look like. Those types of things still require some horsepower. And I think as horsepower continues to get better out at the edge and software efficiency from a sampling perspective continues to get better, we'll see more and more of that capability be pushed out to the edge. But, you know, when determining what to do in the cloud, it's what you can't do out at the edge that's going to prohibit you from ultimately meeting your goals with your IoT analytics strategy. Dan?
And then, Rob, yeah, I'll just add to this. You know, the insights and learnings that you get in the cloud, you know, the cloud is where you can aggregate a lot of this and from not only within a facility but across, you know, your entire global footprint. And what's important about that is it allows you to sort of benchmark facilities and how they're working. So it's important to leverage the cloud not only for the horsepower but for kind of that top-level control capability. And, you know, one of the benefits is certainly the ability to benchmark across all the different parts of your ecosystem that are connected.
Yep.
Excellent. Thanks, gentlemen. Next question from the audience. Is security an issue for edge analytics?
Dan, you want to take that one, and then I can chime in. I have a opinion on that.
Yes.
But I'd love to hear yours.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the great things about edge analytics is it really just strengthens data security. The fact that you're not sending as much data, you know, when you look at the amount of data that's actually generated versus that that's captured and then that's transmitted, it's actually relatively small. But even so, if you can limit the amount of data that's being sent back, that just provides tremendous improvements in sort of the security of that connected solution overall. And then just in terms of, you know, it's always a good idea to employ encryption and maybe enable communications either over VPN or through kind of some TLS or SSL. And that's just highly dependent on the piece of hardware that's at the edge and what you can do there. So, you know, I mean, there's some standard strategies that you should apply just based on any security solution that you're working on, but certainly, you know, trying to limit the amount of data that's sent is one of the big benefits of edge analytics.
Yeah, and I echo the same thing, Dan. I think that the fact that you're not transmitting data, either encrypted or raw data back to a data center, actually enhances the overall security proposition of an IoT solution. And especially when you're talking about the interoperation potentially of multiple models running either on the edge or in a data center, instead of actually transmitting the data itself, you can transmit what models are learning about the data, which Could be a security concern, but it's not a security concern of raw data getting lost or stolen. So I think that there's interesting things that can be done. I think that the edge analytics story at its core increases the overall security of your IoT infrastructure and solution.
Absolutely.
All right, next question from the audience. Is there any software standard used to develop software for edge analytics? For Rob.
Can you repeat that one again?
Is there any software standard used to develop software for edge analytics?
So developing the software for edge analytics, I mean, we are using so we use a mix of Java with some Python thrown in there to do some of the edge analytics on our case. I don't believe there's a standard for that. We can definitely follow up with you after that if you have a specific question around what we're developing edge analytics in. I think that the key to the ability to apply edge analytics to an overall IoT solution, if that's what you're getting at with this question, is not separating the two, but making the two very integral as far as working together, not in an integrated fashion, but architecting everything together so that it's fully meshed together. And it allows a developer, whether they're an expert data scientist with triple PhDs in machine learning, AI, and statistics to execute something, it allows you to easily pull it in and mesh that into the overall IoT solution that you're building.
Okay. Next question. What are features that businesses should consider in selecting an analytics solution for Rob?
Yeah, so I think it begins with what are you trying to get out of your analytics project? And if you're talking about IoT, if you're building an IoT solution either for use in terms of trying to find operational efficiencies or building a product to go out to market with to try to capture some new revenue or re-up an existing product line, it's ultimately going to come down to what do you want to see out of your data? And from an IoT perspective, how are you going to present this data and deliver information to the end user, whether they be your end customer or whether they be somebody inside of your infrastructure? How are you going to do it in a contextual way that they can understand that data and not scare them away with overcomplicated metrics and statistics inside of an application? Dan, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, actually, well, this is a good lead-in, actually, to our white paper, right, Rob? Because there's a nice set of considerations, feature considerations. So let me kind of give you the top five here. So if you look at the analytics market today, in the past it's been dominated by cloud. Now it's moving to where suppliers are offering both cloud and edge. And then you're starting to see a bit of a group that's sort of just focused on the edge. In my view, and I believe this is going to hold true, is that if you're going to choose some analytic solutions, choose those where there's kind of a complementary set of tool sets for both cloud and edge. And it simply just drives efficiency as it relates to you'll have less professional services costs as it relates to these predictive and prescriptive models. That kind of gets to this point that I said earlier about how the edge and the learnings from that edge software component can then feed back into the core model that's out in the cloud. It also just eliminates just the amount of data integration costs you have to deal with, because if you have to put more data back into the cloud in order to kind of learn something that you could learn at the edge already, that reduces kind of the cost and the overall benefit. So really get something that has both cloud and edge tool sets. Another one is, it needs to be scalable. And this seems obvious, but in the case of edge analytics, you're not managing not only the devices and the software on that device, but you also have to sort of manage edge software that may be slightly different depending on the device and what you're working with. And so you have to have these management tool sets, very feature-rich and scalable. I think Rob talked a little bit about, maybe Rob, after this you can talk a little bit about the automation stuff, but certainly this is going to separate the leaders from the followers. The ability to automate that process of building models, deploying those models, updating those models, that's critical. And Rob, I think you should talk about this after I'm done here. Two other things. The edge analytics software. You know, the software should be tailorable to the device in terms of its computing capabilities and the memory on that device. However, I would certainly seek out those offerings where the as the device footprint in terms of processing power and memory increases, you can add more sophisticated edge analytics software. So that's important to keep in mind. You want something that will expand, which we know will expand on the device side in terms of capabilities on the edge. And then the other thing, and again, Rob, you probably want to talk to this, is just rather than software that's you deploy that has built-in rules and all that's great, why not deploy an algorithm that learns right at the edge? And that seems like a great automation feature that should be considered as well. And the last thing I'll point out is partnerships. All the software has to run on some piece of hardware. As Rob mentioned, it could be a gateway, it could be a server. When you have those partnerships and you sort of develop those relationships, you can just hasten deployment of these edge analytics and sort of reduce some of the data integration challenges that you might have as it relates to in some environments where you have to do kind of some data inversion. We talked about National Instruments as one example there. If you can have those relationships, you sort of just smooth out the entire process early on rather than having to create these relationships and then work with the team in order to deploy these. So I'm going to pass back to you, Rob, to really kind of talk about the automation piece. I think that's critical here.
Yeah, so I touched on this a little bit earlier at a very high level, but I think I think you made a good point when you were talking about some of the efficiencies for end users, and one of them being the data scientist. And I think the automation aspects I would argue required, and we have it inside of our ThingWorx analytics technology, is that the ability, when you're talking about potentially hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of different data streams that ultimately require a model or require some type of continual monitoring of the actual performance of a model against a validation set of data for looking for when models come out of compliance or when efficiency of models drops significantly. The last thing you want to do is have a model that's overfit or underfit. You want to have a model that's just right so that you're not throwing a lot of false positives and false negatives when it comes to finding patterns and finding data. And this is really where, data scientists use different techniques to do this, but they can't do it at scale. It's very hard to do. It's very difficult to know which techniques to ultimately layer, if you're using multiple neural network layers or if you're using multiple linear regressions with a gradient boost tied to them. Very difficult to do that on individual data streams, let alone hundreds of thousands or millions of data streams. So automation is really the key to, one, providing a solution that delivers as accurate as possible predictive intelligence or real-time pattern and anomaly type of intelligence inside of the solution, but also giving the data scientist scale to keep models up in terms of compliance with where they want to be from a accuracy standpoint and what they're delivering inside of the solution. So automating all of that, I think, is very important. And getting back to the use case of the data scientist, the ability to let them scale and get further reach into what's being delivered internally or to commercialize products inside of an organization is key to understanding the or is key to enabling them to have further reach into an organization. So I think that's really, when we talk about automation, and I've done other webinars, and I'm sure we can get them to the audience, but around how it actually works, I won't dive into it here, but it's really using pretty sophisticated automation techniques to leverage a lot of AI technology to do the work of how a data scientist would normally apply a single technique or multiple techniques in an ensemble to deliver an accurate prediction to market. So doing that at extreme scale is really what one of the core secret sauces of the overall ThingWorx analytics technology and what we deliver to market. Now, moving to the second point of your question here, or second question here around pushing a fresh machine learning algorithm out to the edge and allowing it to learn. Well, that's exactly what we do. I mean, we're not pre-delivering a model to an actual edge device. We're allowing each individual data stream to learn, monitor, maintain what normal looks like in their operating environment to keep their models fit very well, but also eliminate any of the false positives or negatives with pattern and anomaly detection out the edge. So I think that's the key to overall scale, is allowing a lot of the AI and machine learning technology to run at the edge, but also run from a prediction and simulation standpoint inside of applications and solutions for the overall, for IoT. Sorry, I said an absolute mouthful there. I hope everybody followed that.
That was good. And now we got a couple questions left before we call it a day. And the first one is for Dan. Dan, what do you think about the fog computing concept?
Ooh, what do I think about it? Well, I think that fog is just one of those options for deploying analytics solutions. I do think I think Cisco coined the term, but I do think it has relevance in terms of trying just to understand where analytics can be deployed. You know, it's all a question of, you know, we talked about some of the drivers for edge analytics, you know, about, you know, latency and data security. Anytime you can act on data closer to where it's being generated, that's a good thing. Now, what I think is interesting about fog and why I think it's quite relevant is that there are going to be those environments where you're going to have various connected products and services all operating independently, but where their interactions and where understanding how they interact will be quite beneficial. We talked a little bit, and smart cities is clearly one. I think retail is a big one, construction sites just from the safety perspective. But the ability to maybe have interactions of the data streams at a central location that's not 100 miles away or 1,000 miles away in a data center, but actually very nearby, which could be sort of maybe on a mobile operator's network infrastructure or kind of a CDN operator and what they're doing, that provides real benefits there. So, the question is getting those different individual application segments to kind of talk to each other. I think that's more the question. But say it's a city where they have worked with various vendors to deploy, connected transportation infrastructure. They might have, connected refuse collection. They have other things related to automating different parts of the city. They can sort of push to have those relationships established and take advantage of the fog. So I think it's a very real concept. I think there's real value there. And I think it's probably a little bit longer term overall, but it still gets to the notion of trying to keep data as close to the where it's generated as possible.
Okay. Let's head to our next question. This one is also for Dan. What does the future look like? Where do you think all this is going? Open-ended.
Yeah. Okay, so I really have sort of three sort of predictions on how this market is going to evolve with the advent of edge analytics. So one is, I think Rob talked a little bit about this, but when you look at the advancements in computing and storage, we're operating on 22 nanometer fabrication methods for chipsets and semiconductors. By 2020, they're predicting 5 nanometer. Every time you go low, you're able to pack more in a smaller area. And so that's huge. And really, that advancement in computing capability is really going to kind of create this virtuous cycle of demand, because the more that you can do on the edge, driven by the hardware capabilities, will then drive more demand by those end users to do more. This is why you're going to get to more sophisticated analytics at the edge than we have today. I think another kind of prediction for me in the market is that you're really going to see realization of ambient environments. And this is where, you know, the interaction of peoples and things are made smarter through these, through smarter devices and edge solutions. You know, you can see this potentially in aging in place types of solutions where your home is sensorized and monitoring that elderly loved one through using these sensors, but also analytics at the edge will be, you know, a real benefit there. I think the last kind of my prediction for where this is going to go is that I think sophisticated analytics is going to become necessary at the edge, not just in the cloud. So I think you're going to see definitely more predictive type activities. We're starting to see streaming that's already happening and sort of this notion of pattern recognition, but also where that device becomes smart enough that you do kind of predictive analytics and where overall as industries mature, they're going to want to do more of the predictive and prescriptive stuff. And so it's not just going to be in the cloud, it's going to move to the edge. And that's going to, again, become possible not only because of hardware, but also because of user demand to make that happen. So sophisticated edge will definitely, or sophisticated analytics will definitely happen at the edge moving forward.
Yeah, and I would add, you know, the way that I look at this is that the hardware is going to continue to get more efficient out at the edge, as Dan just said, and software is going to continue to get more efficient when it comes to things like sampling for machine learning and for modeling. And as those things continue to increase, or as sampling continues to get better and hardware continues to get more powerful, we're going to see more and more of the analytical processes move out towards the edge for data stream monitoring being integrated directly back to applications, and also the security aspect as well, as keeping data as far out at the edge as possible and not having to transmit that over networks.
Thank you, gentlemen. That brings us right up to our time limit for today. Sorry we cannot get to all of your questions. Someone may get back to you after the ECAST with more information. I'd like to thank Rob Patterson and Dan Shea for speaking today, and also offer you a reminder that this and all Open Systems Media ECAST are copyrighted and may not be recorded or used in any way without the express written consent of Open Systems Media. This ECAST will be archived online today and be available for 1 year. There will also be an MP3 version of the event available. Thank you all for attending, and I look forward to seeing you on future Open Systems Media ECAST. Goodbye.